Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Hey, welcome to the show. It is great to be along with you. Huge, huge lineup of guests on the show today. Let's get right to it. Cardinals broadcaster Paulo Asensio is with us to start things off on what was a monster day of sports yesterday, another one today. And Paulo, you're right in the middle of it. How are things?
Hey, how we doing, Tom? Buenos dias. ¿Cómo estás?
Buenos dias, my friend. And I'll tell you what, the Cardinals on a day when pitching was the theme of the day, Matt Morris and Dave Duncan go into the Cardinals Hall of Fame along with Cardinals great Whitey Karowski. They pitched their tails off yesterday. Kyle Gibson, Jojo Romero, Andrew Kittredge, Ryan Helsley, Pedro Pajes behind the plate. I mean, that was what you look for, what you dream about if you're loving pitching. That was a great win.
It was. And we were talking in the broadcast with Benji Molina and myself. By the way, yesterday we had with us, just because, you know, part of the Hall of Fame weekend with the Cardinals, Jose Oquendo, Cheito, as we call him, he spent 7 innings with us in the booth during the broadcast. And exactly, that's my feeling this morning. I just got goosebumps again because what comes out, obviously comes out of his mouth, but I was going to say what comes out of his mind, the baseball knowledge, all the secrets. I mean, he is the secret weapon, but now all the secrets that he has, all the ways that he can help this organization. And one thing that I learned yesterday, Tom, and I don't want to, you know, walk away from your question and pitching because it was great pitching. And my point, my beginning of my point was, Benji was saying that Logan Gilbert was one of the best pitchers we've seen all year. One of the best opponents, even better than Paul Skenes, who made a very good start here against us this season. But what Gilbert did yesterday was fantastic. And somebody can say, well, you know, they let him pitch too much. The guy didn't even have 100 pitches. It was just a good at-bat against Pedro. And I think once he hit Walker, he got a little out of his rhythm. You know, he maybe that got on his head, and then he tried to challenge Pedro. Hey, Pedro Picapiedra, as I call him. In case you don't know, Tom, Pedro Picapiedra is Fred Flintstone in Spanish. So when Pedro Pajes hits a home run, that's why I say yaba daba do, because Pedro Picapiedra just hit a home run. Because people were asking me, how come you say yaba daba do when Pedro is hitting? But yeah, no, having Cheito Kendo with us the whole weekend, great performance by the team. And today, you know, the third one of the series against the Seattle Mariners. And don't forget, I hope to see you, Tom, and everybody else, because today we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month here at the stadium with Fiesta Cardenales starting very, very early. Hopefully we end the celebration with a win. And that series wins against the Mariners.
Yeah, they keep stacking wins. It's going to be a great day for you. You just mentioned it. Drew, give it to us. Here's the call.
En ha permitido solamente 3 imparables. Uno de ellos se fue lejos. Vamos. Aquí Pedro Pajes, batazo elevado, profundo. Jardín central, la va a pasar sobre su cabeza. Quick Meyer. Pedro. Yabadabadu. A la historia. Cuadrangular para Pedrito, el tercero del año. El primero en casa. cabeza para él en su carrera. Y los Cardenales se van arriba 4-2 aquí en la quinta entrada.
One of the great many calls you've had throughout your time as a Cardinals broadcaster. There's one right there. But I want to ask a question about you, and then we'll follow before we get to Ollie Marmol here in 5 minutes about what's happening today. But what has this been like for you, Polo? I haven't had you on this show in a while. I know that you have just, I can feel it every time I talk to you and hear you, that you're like many of these Cardinal broadcasters through the years, that it feels bigger than us. And I know how special it is to you every time you open up that mic.
It is. It is bigger than us. And it's especially, you know, doing it in Spanish. This is the ninth season, you know, one way or the other that we do it. We started in 2016 with two games. Now this is, I believe, the fourth season. We do every single home game. And it's bigger than us. It's bigger than baseball. And like I said, you know, doing it in Spanish, doing it for a community in St. Louis that is growing every day. And today we're going to see it at the stadium. You know, the celebration starts as soon as the gates open, 11:45. We're going to have live music at the Bud Terrace. There's going to be a parade of flags. The players that have either roots or were born outside of the United States, in Venezuela, Mexico, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, they're going to celebrate it. They're going to celebrate their heritage in front of the fans this day. It's very special. You know, we celebrate, we honor, and we always do it with respect, because we know that one thing with Cardinal Nation is we honor and respect the baseball. We honor and respect tradition. And today is another part of that celebration, another part of that tradition. And it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be there. Benji's going to be there. And perhaps one or two of the current players are going to show up at the terrace to say hi to some of the fans. And it's an honor, Tom. It's an honor to every day wear the headset and talk to Cardinal Nation, Spanish, English. It doesn't matter the language. We know that we are the best fans in baseball. And yes, you know, this season has been hard again, just like last season. But I believe, I still believe, and like I said yesterday, as long as the calendar says there is a chance, we have a chance to come back and get into the playoffs. The players believe it. I believe it. I hope the fans believe it. And they show the appreciation they have for this franchise coming to the game. And especially today, Fiesta Cardenales is going to be all day, live music during the game, during the innings. Players might change their walk-up music to celebrate. They're roots too, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. It's in the Budweiser Terrace, which is a great part of the ballpark. And before we go, real quick, you teased on Twitter, I still call it Twitter, a very special event coming up next Sunday. Can you tell us?
Yes, next Sunday. We partnered, Benji Molina, Polo Asensio, Los Cardenales. We partnered with Ted Drews. And by the way, my respect and condolences to the Drews family. But the legacy that this family is bringing, is brought to St. Louis, is going to live on forever. So next Sunday from 12 to 2 at the gift shop in the store in Chippewa, Benji Molina, myself, Polo Asensio, we're going to launch a brand new flag, a pennant that honors Ted Drews, honors St. Louis, and honors Los Cardenales and Hispanic Heritage Month. So hopefully you have a chance to come celebrate with us again next Sunday, Chippewa store. Special pennant, Polo Asensio, Benji Molina, and Los Cardenales de San Luis. And speaking of celebrations, Tom, please give me 30 seconds to wish my lovely wife a happy birthday. She is in California, so I don't know if she's awake, because over there it's like 8:15 in the morning, and I'm pretty sure she went out to party last night. It's okay. So happy birthday to my wife, Maribel, and hopefully it's 50 and 50 more. I just said how old she is.
That's awesome. Hey, you know what? That's beautiful. Happy birthday to her, and have an amazing day today. And I'm sure Drew can get that clip to you so you can send it to her to prove that you wished her a happy birthday on KMOX.
To prove that And again, thank you very much, Tom. And hey, let's have some fun today at Fiesta and next Sunday with our friends at Ted Drews. Let's just keep celebrating. Let's keep growing as a community. Let's keep growing as an organization, because we all know that the Cardinals are the cream of the crop.
Way to hear from you, buddy. I love this. This is great. Thank you for joining us on KMOX today.
Gracias, Tommy. Nos vemos el domingo ahí en Ted Drews from 12 to 2. Polo Asensio, Benji Molina. celebrating our Hispanic heritage.
Cardinals broadcaster Polo Asensio with us on Sports on a Sunday Morning. Ollie Marmel coming up in just a minute or so from Busch Stadium as we kick off coverage of the Cardinals and the Mariners, but there is so much to come. Bill McDermott, Chris Kerber, Dan Reardon, Lutz Fahnenstiel, John Mozeliak, Bernie Miklas. That's the lineup today. Until noon on KMOX.
Now, the Manager's Chat, presented by Siteman Cancer Center. Siteman Cancer Center, national leaders in cancer.
And we welcome in Cardinals manager Oliver Marmel, live from Busch Stadium. Ollie, sorry for starting a couple of minutes late here. We had Polo Asensio on right before you, celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month and Fiesta Cardinales at the ballpark today. Thought that'd be a great way to kick off the show. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
Doing great. I'll bet you're doing well after that game. That was a really good one again. And again, we will focus on pitching, but I think just across the board, another gutsy win for your team. I mean, that you've had some really good, hard efforts, and yesterday was one of those where you came back and got a W against the Mariners.
No doubt about it. We've had several of them, and the guys have done a nice job of just not giving in, man. You look at our entire lineup, the rotation, the bullpen, and we've had to put it together in order to beat some of these teams down the stretch. You look at the Yankee series, Milwaukee. I mean, we played San Diego tough, the Twins, all the way from L.A. It's been a lot of teams that are in the hunt. And it's been fun to watch the style of play, man.
Yeah, no doubt. That was a good pitcher you faced yesterday. To put it lightly, he is something else. What did Pedro Pajes see there that was, he was able to put that ball over the fence?
No, good swing, man. And to his credit, he's been putting in so much work. It's one thing. You watch these guys before the game starts, just even right now, right? We're playing a few hours, but just the intensity and deliberate practice that goes into their day, and then to see him rewarded against a really good arm. You said it, man. Gilbert was nasty. I mean, he was efficient. He was effective. He had everything working, and it's a really tough at-bat. Left the pitch there for Pajes, and he hit the two-run homer, which was huge. But Gibby did a really nice job of giving us length yesterday, and then our pen got their lanes in order to secure a win.
Yeah, you did. Kyle Gibson, I could say he maybe was inspired by Adam Wainwright being here this weekend and being part of it. I know how tight they are, and they were working on their brace for impact together, but he's just a good pitcher. I mean, he showed it and many times this year, and I know that your rotation wishes they could do more, but that here's a guy who has been around a long time and gives you a lot. What is in his arsenal that you love about Kyle Gibson?
He slows the game down enough to read the hitter and know what he has working that day in order to get him. And every day is different for him. There's certain days where the cutter is a really good pitch. Yesterday he mixed more changeups than we were used to seeing, even through some right-on-right changeups. And he just knows how to attack the opposition, man. This is a guy that studies the game extremely well and slows it down in the moment enough to go, okay, that may not be the right pitch, and make sure I have conviction behind what I'm throwing. And yesterday was a really good example of that, man. I mean, him going 6 2/3 was important.
Yeah, no question. And then your bullpen follows it up, and I know that you have leaned on JoJo Romero, Andrew Kittredge, Ryan Helsley, among others, to close games out for you. I think you probably have to feel mostly good as Kittredge is and as amazing as Helsley has been for Romero. I mean, nobody likes giving up the first batter that they face, a bomb after a great outing, and that's what happened in the Sonny Gray game. He comes back and keeps that shutout going for you.
Yeah, those guys have been good, man. As a reliever, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be times you go out there and you have to have a short memory because you are going to give it up. You're going to give up a big base hit with runners on. You're going to give up the homer like JoJo did the other day. But these guys have been good for us all year, man. And Kit, JoJo, Held, you look at the work that Libby's done over the last stretch, and Fernandez and King coming in, getting his ground balls. It's been impressive. You try to put these guys in the best spot to have success, and they've been really good for us, man. Even throughout the year, you look at our pen, they've been a top 10 bullpen in a lot of different categories, and it's been a big reason why we've been able to kind of stay afloat.
Just a little bit of housekeeping injury-wise, if you would. Nolan Arenado, boy, it was nice to see him back in the lineup. I wasn't sure. I hate when I hear about shoulder discomfort, but he was back in there. How is he doing today, to your knowledge?
man, this guy's going to fight. He doesn't like being out of the lineup. He felt better yesterday. He's in there today. And, yeah, we took him out the other day just because of that discomfort. It didn't feel right. He didn't we didn't want him taking another at-bat. We agreed on it probably wasn't worth it. But, yeah, he's back in there today and hopefully makes it through.
Is Brendan Donovan doing okay? I know I'd heard
doing
that,
better. Yeah. He's doing better. We texted back and forth this morning before everybody arrived at the field. He's getting some work done as we speak. To see kind of if he can put more pressure on it today than he was able to yesterday. Yesterday wasn't a great day for it.
Also, just a couple of other things. Yesterday is a festive day. The whole weekend is with the Hall of Famers in town, but the Hall of Fame ceremony itself with Matt Morris, Dave Duncan, and posthumously the great Whitey Kurowski, just a reminder of how special this organization is and its history. And man, Dave Duncan, you could easily make the case he's the greatest pitching coach in the history of the game.
No doubt, man. And he left a big impression in this organization and just the way we do things. And sitting there and watching the ceremony and being able to talk to those guys before and after is always special, man. We have such a rich history of guys that have come through that have had so much success, and some of them are no longer with us, and we just have to be continue to be mindful of having these guys around, man. There's so much institutional knowledge that can get passed along to our players and our coaches, and it's important to have those guys around as much as possible. So I love it. I absolutely love it when they're in town and we get to kind of see him in the clubhouse, just having random conversations with players and different staff members, and being able to talk to Tony yesterday and Carp. I absolutely love those moments. So the more, the better.
What's your relationship like with Tony? I know we've gotten into this a little bit, but he has been, I think, quite the mentor for you in a lot of ways, dealing with what you have to deal with as manager of a club.
Yeah, he's been really good, man. Even going back to this offseason, he didn't have to spend the time he did with me and just talking through, keeping my head down and not listening to the noise that we're going to go through periods like this, but understanding what makes us good and just sticking to why we do what we do. And he was able to tell me stories of times where he went through it and didn't feel like he was getting the support of whatever the case may be, whether that's a losing season and just feeling down on how things were going. But he was able to walk me through kind of how he dealt with those times. And it's always encouraging, especially from somebody that you respect, like Tony, who has had the success that he's had here in St. Louis and the respect of this city. But hearing it from someone like that and continuing to receive their encouragement from someone like him is meaningful, man.
I'm sure it's helpful for you. It is one of the biggest seats in sports, manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, for good or bad. Sometimes it's tremendous. Sometimes it's hard. I know, and I get that. And you have to endure a lot of things, but there was a moment, I want to close with this, that you and I talked about off the air a little bit. And I noted how special that dad's weekend was, aside from the hotel change that you all had to make that weekend. Can you take us behind the curtain a little bit? And as we close here, I haven't really asked you about this on the air, but what it meant to you to stand up in front of those dads that day and talk to them about how important they are to the game.
Oh, man. Highlight of the year, to be quite honest, because what we do in between those lines means everything. It's important. It's why we get paid. It's the reason people show up. But moments like that where you get to have all the dads sitting at the lockers of their sons and you get to speak to them, everybody in one room, and just thank them for what they did. And I did take a moment. I'm not sure if it was clipped in what was shown publicly, but took a moment to honor their moms as well that weren't there, because there's some stories, man, including mine, and listening to Mason Wynn and Newbar and some others that had some really meaningful moments of being raised and the impact that the moms had. But having the dads in that room was special, man. And just being able to speak to them and thank them for the amount of time that they put into creating the character of the guys that we have in that room, man. And at times it was encouragement, and it was, didn't matter if they were 5, 10, 15 coming out of the draft. I mean, we're 10 years in the big leagues. We all need somebody to lean on at some point in our careers because it gets tough. And at times, it was a kick in the ass and just letting us know we got to get going. But every one of those dads have done it different. But to be able to thank them, and then I gave the floor to the players and allowed them to thank their dads one by one. And we didn't record all of those, but man, it was really cool to see some of the emotions running through and those guys being able to take a moment and just appreciate where they're at and how they got here. So the name on the front means everything, man. We play for the St. Louis Cardinals, the best franchise in baseball. But it's good to acknowledge the name on the back from time to time because it's where we came from. And there's a lot of time and effort put into getting here. So being able to do that for the dads was special. I know it meant a lot to the players, and it's something that that they'll remember forever.
Well said. The name on the back, certainly every one of those has his own unique journey and people that have supported him along the way to get to that point. It's always good to remember, including the name Marmol on the back of yours. So appreciate the time very much. Thank you for this. Good luck today as you try to win another series against the Seattle Mariners.
You got it, brother.
Manager Ollie Marmol with us on KMOX. We'll take a break. There's a lot going on here in St. Louis today. The Ascension Charity Classic at Norwood Hills Country Club, but also the Bronze Boot is today for the women and the men, SIUE against SLU at City Park. There's a ton going on. Bill McDermott is going to join us at 10:30, just in a few minutes about that. And hockey is getting started. Dan Reardon is going to talk golf at 11:05, Lutz Fan and Steel 11:15, John Moselock 11:30, Bernie Mikolas at 11:45. But Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues, will be back on KMOX at 10:45 in just a bit. Bill McDermott is next.
Smith swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back. Sports on a Sunday morning, rolling on until noon today, loaded with guests. And here comes guest number three. He is Mr. Soccer, one of my favorite people in this town. Bill McDermott is with us on KMOX. What's going on, Bill?
Mr. Ackerman, how are you?
I am doing great. Here we go. It's bronze boot time. You can time this out today. You could hit the Cardinals game and then roll over to City Park at 6:30, unless you want to jump out early and see the women's game at 3:30, because both of them are playing SIUE today, Bill.
They are, Tom, and as you mentioned, women 3:30, men 6:30, the bronze boot game. This game, the bronze boot game, the very first one, the first time these two schools met, was made back in November of 1969. The very first bronze boot game was played in 1971. The games were played at Busch Stadium from 72 to 1985. They were halted in 1995, but they began again in 2018. And more or less, Tom, the people who started this were the CYC, the Catholic Youth Council, because the closeness of the schools, the natural rivalry that was built up because of that. But in particular, Tom, nearly every player from that first game in the Bronze Boot Series, nearly every player grew up playing his soccer in the CYC program. So the CYC wanted to highlight that and continue to grow the sport of intercollegiate soccer here in St. Louis.
And before we get into Kevin Kalish's team and this Billikens team that is very good, they're ranked 19th in the country. Hold on, SIUE beat them last year 2-0.
Yes, sir.
Won the bronze boot. Did.
And they did so convincingly, Tom. They really had a good year last year, did SIU. They are not off to the same start this year simply because 13 of their 27 players are new. Now, there are some new players with St. Louis U as well. So St. Louis U comes into the contest 1-1-1. SIU has yet to win a game. They are 0-2-1. Now, they lost two games by a same score of 4-0 to Ohio State and Dayton. However, this team was by no means totally prepared to start this new season, at least not with a solid first 11. The overall series, Cale Wasserman told me, is being affected by the fact that early in this year when the two teams are meeting, we're just still moving players around. We're looking for the right balance formula or just trying to be fluid. And Kevin Kalish told me, well, with SIU, because of what they're doing here early, just expect the unexpected. So this will be a different type of game than it was last year. But in particular, for all these players, Tom, to have the chance to play at City Park, it really means a great deal to them because it sees that they see that there is indeed another way to play, to possibly another way to play after you graduate from college. You go on to MLS next, perhaps MLS, and you continue your career. So this is a valuable recruiting tool for both schools.
I'll bet. Kevin Kalish knows all about SIUE. He was the coach there, spent a long time in Edwardsville. Mm-hmm. This guy is recruiting like crazy. I hear it. I know you do. I hear many, many good things to come for SLU men's soccer. This is really special what's going on here.
It is, Tom, and we've talked so many times about this sport professionally, internationally, nationally, intercollegiately being the world's game, and trust me, that's the way it is now. Players are coming to play for various colleges around the United States. No one place in particular anymore, everywhere now. Players are literally coming from all over the world, and you have an excellent opportunity to recruit some of these players because, as we just mentioned, there's so many players coming to the United States where they see sort of a avenue, if you will, to get to be able to play professionally. And one of those prized avenues is getting some personal responsibility early in your life, but in particular, learning how to play a little more difficult schedule when you're playing intercollegiate soccer.
On the women's side, Katie Shields has herself a power. Now, they got off to a tough start because a storm interrupted that Kansas City game, so that ended up in a draw. BYU, they fought them hard. 1-1 draw. They go to Mizzou and win. How have they been here early in the season?
almost so four times, as you pointed out. Yeah, the BYU game was a big indicator so early in your particular season. They tied that game 1-1. They beat Mizzou 2-0. They went over Missouri State 4-0. They lose to Penn State by a score of 2-1. That could have easily been 2-2 against a very difficult team, but they missed a penalty kick, the Billikens did, late in the game. And this weekend, this is bizarre for SLU. They played Xavier on Friday night. They got home at 3 a.m. in the morning to play a game now coming up this afternoon at 3:30. And then they go back to play, they play Creighton. Now they go back to play Xavier on Thursday night. So their schedule is full. But both schools realize that you have to play difficult teams to continue to get the awareness for your program and the fact that you are willing and perfectly able to play some of the better teams in the country.
So you want to be a D1 college athlete. Well, be prepared for a job. I mean, there's a lot to do, isn't there?
Tom, when I played at State, well, never mind when I played there. Long ago, Tom, decades ago. There was nothing. It was nothing remotely. The only similarity, Tom, is the ball's still round. That's about it. This is a full-time job without any question. While you're going to school, you have to play a sport against difficult competition so that later in the year you're playing well at the end of the year. So you have some sort of a pedigree built up maybe early in the year throughout the middle to the end. So you had that pedigree built up so that the NCAA committee sees that you have been playing good soccer. But that all has to do with you doing this on a daily basis all the while we are taking, 15, 18 hours. This is a full-time assignment, in particular in Division One now, Tom, because as we talked about earlier, there's so many different ways to pursue your soccer career after intercollegiate soccer. So consequently, you have to show well while you're playing college soccer before you get anyplace else.
Final thing, what a great venue for today to have this incredible showcase inside one of the premier soccer stadiums in the country anywhere.
No question, Tom. St. Louis City has risen very quickly. Now, everyone says that I'm yes, I am precious, but all you have to do is give it the eye test. Go down and look at this venue. And I think City realizes the huge impact that this event has had on our local soccer community over the years. They get the history of what's going on here. And City Park, as you just pointed out, it's a logical venue for this particular chapter of college soccer, which continues to endure in our community. From Fairgrounds Park in 1959, now to City Park, from Musial Field down in 1969 to Bob Gelker Field over at SIU. And that's one thing that's really, really unique about this Browns Boot Series, Tom, and that is Bob Gelker, an icon in St. Louis soccer history, started the programs at both schools, SIU in 1967 and St. Louis U in 1959. So once again, one of the true icons in the sport of soccer in our country, not just intercollegiately, but for the sport overall, played a huge role in putting St. Louis soccer on the map.
Always great to hear your voice on KMOX. Have an amazing time over there. They'll pull some fans in there on this gorgeous Sunday.
Tom.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a pretty day. If you get a chance to get by, stop by.
Great to hear from you, buddy. Talk soon. Have fun.
Tom. Thank you. Talk soon.
Bill McDermott with us on KMOX. You know what else is coming? Hockey season. It's time. NHL, here we go. Camp is opening for the St. Louis Blues. We're going to tell you how you can see your favorite players, and you're going to hear from your favorite broadcasters, including the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. He's next.
It's a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We are efforting to reach Chris Kerber. In the meantime, let's do this.
And a key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonnie.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
Yes, we always pay tribute to the great offensive lineman, Tom Ackerman, my long-lost brother and namesake. I've never met him. I still say we should try to get him on the show. I say that every year, and we have not done that. So we will make that attempt. Thank you, Tom. And hello, I'm Tom Ackerman, the radio host. Let's do some NFL picks, and we'll try to connect with Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues. We'll go through them real quick. So there are two games in the books. Kansas City beat Baltimore 27-20 in a terrific game. The Chiefs covered that spread, and the Eagles beat the Packers 34-29. The Eagles were a one-point favorite. They covered that spread down in Brazil. The Chiefs were favored by 2.5, which I thought was really small. I mean, if I were putting a wager, which I did not, but if I were, I would have taken the Chiefs minus 2.5 all day long. That's not second-guessing or looking in the rearview mirror. I love the Ravens quarterback, Lamar Jackson. I love the Ravens, but the Chiefs are going to win that game. Come on. Silly. Of course. Patrick Mahomes came through with some great pitch and catch to Travis Kelce and beyond. And I love that Xavier Worthy. Woo! Man, he's quick. Okay. So the Chiefs and the Eagles are the first two winners. That could be your Super Bowl. I'm going to start with that. I'm going to go with the Bengals in the Super Bowl this year. I like the Bengals to make the Super Bowl this year. And they will play. Are you ready? The Detroit Lions. I'm hooked. I think the Lions are fun. They're exciting. And they are going to smash the Los Angeles Rams tonight. And I mean smash the Los Angeles Rams tonight. So that's my first pick of the day, your Sunday nighter, 4.5-point favorite. Give me Detroit minus 4.5 all day long. Here are the noon games today, Pittsburgh at Atlanta. Atlanta is a 4-point favorite. I'll take the Falcons at home at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Arizona at Buffalo, the Bills are 6.5-point favorites. Come on, Bills are going to cover. Touchdown today, opening day in Buffalo? Come on now. Tennessee at Chicago, they're all excited about Caleb Williams. They are so excited, those Bears fans. Have they been suckered again with a young quarterback? I don't think so. I think he's the real deal, actually. I like Caleb Williams a lot. Do I like him enough to cover 4? It's tough. Titans at Bears today. I'm going to go with the Bears minus 4. I think Tennessee's still a little new. They've got a first-year coach. Let's go the Bears covering the 4, but I hesitated on that one a little bit. New England at Cincinnati, love the Bengals. 7.5 is a sucker spread, though, because if the Bengals win by a touchdown, you lose. But I'm going to do it. I've liked Cincinnati from the get-go. When I heard that Joe Burrow was going to be healthy, I think they come out and take care of business against a bad Patriots team. Houston at Indianapolis. The Texans are favored in Indy by 3. They are favored in Indy by 3. The Texans are a dark horse in the AFC. They were good last year. They'll be better this year. And I like the matchup. I think you've got a great quarterback matchup, C.J. Stroud against Anthony Richardson. Indianapolis playing at home. I'm going to take the dog as much as I like the Texans. I don't love that. Colts plus 3. We'll see if I'm right. I'm going against the grain probably on that one. Jacksonville at Miami. Tyreek Hill was detained by police before the game. There are videos of him released by Adam Schefter of him face down on the pavement after reckless driving and a verbal altercation with officers. How does that affect the game? Well, his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, says he is going to play. So we'll hear from the Dolphins. That game's coming up, though, on CBS. Miami, a 3.5-point favorite against Jacksonville. I'm going to look at how that line has moved. Has it? Has not. Actually, it's gotten a little bit bigger, 3.5. I'm going to go Jacksonville plus 3.5. On the road, at Miami. Carolina at New Orleans in the Superdome. Saints 3.5-point favorite. I like them. Minnesota at the Giants. Vikes come in a 1-point favorite on the road at MetLife Stadium. I don't know really what to make of either of these teams at the moment. The Vikings took a big hit with the injury to J.J. McCarthy. The Giants beat them in an NFC wildcard game recently. I'll go Giants plus one at home. Vegas at the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh making his debut as Chargers coach at SoFi Stadium against the Raiders. I'll go Chargers at home minus three. That could be anyone's game. That's a toss-up. I'll go Chargers at home. Denver at Seattle. I think the Seahawks are a sneaky good team. I think they're a team that people will not be talking about right away, but I think they will get better and better. And it's a big spread, 6.5. I'm not sold yet on Bo Nix. I need to see him. Sean Payton's his coach. He believes he's got his guys. This is the guy he drafted. He knows quarterbacks, but it will take time. 6.5 sounds like a big number, but the Seahawks should cover that at home against Denver. Denver's not ready yet. Dallas at Cleveland. Ooh, I love the Browns here. They'll be amped. Dak Prescott just signed, according to reports, 4 years, $240 million. He's the richest player in the NFL. Cowboys are awfully good. I won't deny it. But I'll take Cleveland at home minus two. Washington at Tampa Bay. Commanders could be interesting. But the Bucs, a 3.5-point favorite today. God, I hate that half point. I'll go Tampa Bay minus 3.5 at home. Rams at Detroit. I already told you, Lions kill them. 4.5 is the spread. And Jets at San Francisco. Aaron Rodgers comes back to his home state, his home area. He always wanted to be a 49ers quarterback. 49ers are hyped as the team in the NFC. That's the Monday night game. Oh, man. I'll go 49ers minus four. Hard for me to take the Jets right now. Plus four, but I'll go 49ers minus four. That's our NFL picks for week one. Coming up, a huge 11 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere.
He hits a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show, the Stifel Financial Sports Studio. Stifel is a name that we are going to talk about with Dan Reardon here in just a second. Just an update, we will bring in Chris Kerber. New time for him, 11:20, right after we talk to Lutz. In fact, we won't take a break. We'll go from Lutz Fan and Steel right to the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. John Mozeliak at 11:30. Bernie Miklas at 11:45 before we get you to Cardinal Baseball. Scott Warman has the pregame today at 12:20. Looking forward to that. We say hello to Dan Reardon, our senior golf editor from Norwood Hills Country Club. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Tom. Have a good day this afternoon. Greeting those players on the 18th green.
I look forward to that. That was a bucket list thing for me. Ascension Charity Classic did not know that. They just reached out. Mel and Sue Rector, I will credit them. They reached out to me a while back and said, would you like to be a starter at our tournament? We would love to have you as a volunteer. And I said, absolutely, I would. And then I thought about it and I thought, I have always wanted to do that. And so yesterday morning, I arrived on the course at about 7 a.m. and at 7:45, my first threesome teed off, and I got to announce where they're from and their names and watch them walk down the fairway, and I thought, I've always wanted to do something like that. It was pretty special, Dan.
And congratulations on the opportunity.
It was great. What did you think of yesterday? I mean, what a great day, beautiful weather. Norwood Hills Country Club, Ascension Charity Classic. Did it live up to everything that you thought it would be?
In terms of the weather and the performance on the course, yeah, this is the second year they've had really good weather. And sometimes that can be a negative because people want to play golf more than they want to watch golf. But as far as the players were concerned, the golf course was exactly what you want it to be. I hope the new management takes a careful look at this tournament and looks at where they can make improvements. I think this tournament needs spectators. I think a lot of the elements of the course and the setup are in place. But I do think that they need to look at those people who ride those yellow school buses from Umsel to the golf course and figure out a way to get more of them there.
I'm with you. I think that that's very important. And how do you judge the success of a golf tournament? Is it corporate support? Is it the money that goes to charity? Both of those things seem to be very healthy. Is it the field that you put out there, or is it the fans? Obviously, it's a combination of all of those things. But I think in general, fans, Dan, are the ingredient that you absolutely need for everything, whether it's Busch Stadium, whether it's the Dome for a football game, a City Park, whatever you ask. Fans can make, they do make the event electric, and they are a game changer.
And in that context, I made a point this week to try to look at the tournament through the eyes of those people on those school buses, and I honestly didn't get a strong sensation or a feeling of them having as much of a priority as the special access people have to do. You know, the most elite tournament in all of golf every year is the Masters tournament. And I can tell you there is not an inch along the fairways at Augusta National where you can buy better viewing access than the patrons get at Augusta National. And I'm not saying you don't do that with the skyboxes, but there are things I think that could be done in terms of these everyday working class galleries that need to take place. They've done all the high-end stuff. They need to spend some time on the low-end stuff.
There is certainly some high-end stuff. I mean, those skyboxes, the hospitality surrounding the 17th is where I was yesterday after my volunteer shift. I went and changed out of my volunteer shirt. I put on a polo shirt, a Bell Reeve, actually, 2018 PGA Championship shirt, and sat as a fan and enjoyed it with some friends and some sponsors. I'm with you on that. And let me ask one more thing. What changes do you foresee? What is the buzz now that Ron Kraszewski has stepped in and said Stiefel is going to be the title sponsor? It is going to be the Stiefel Charity Classic for the next 3 years. What do you hear about that?
What caught my attention is these are both local business operations that are tied to St. Louis, and that's not a knock against Ascension, which is St. Louis-based, and Nick Ragone and Steve Spratt and the people on that team. But particularly compliance solutions head person talked about the fact that he is a North St. Louisan. And when he says North St. Louisan, he doesn't mean he just lives there. It means he grew up there. And I think that perspective will pay dividends to the tournament. As far as next year is concerned, a couple of things that I think, one positive, one negative. There's nobody of any consequence who turns 50 next year. So what we see this year is what we're looking at for next year. The good news on that is hopefully Keegan Bradley holds to his claim that he is going to have younger vice captains for the Ryder Cup, because there will be a Ryder Cup following this championship next year. And the last time that took place, we lost three or four key figures in the field. If Keegan goes young and we hold on to the players like Steve Stricker of that side, that will help the tournament down the road.
And I know some people might be saying, well, doesn't Tiger Woods turn 50? He does not until the end of next year, right, Dan?
That's correct. December, I think, is December, I believe, is his birthday.
Yep, December 30th. So, you know, who knows what's to come there. Let's talk before we go, though, about what we're going to see today, and that is the final round, and you've got a number of big names. Now, the biggest gallery I saw yesterday was following John Daly, and that's to be expected. But there are some big names, major champions, in fact. Stuart Sink, Wai Yang, Bernhard Langer, all in contention, Dan.
And add to that, Justin Leonard and Angel Cabrera, they're both at five. So within three shots of the lead, you have a bunch of major winners, including the two joined at the top. And Stuart Sink was interesting to listen to because, you know, he was one of these guys who didn't want to give up being a regular tour player and then came to the senior tour a little bit and dabbled with it a little bit and then won last week. And he admitted that sort of spurred him through the first round on Friday. But yesterday was a working class day for him. And it's the Sink type players that populate this tour, a talent who spent a long time on the PGA Tour, but a guy that will earn money like the Strickers, like Hale Irwin, people who come out and make it a competitive environment. And Wai Yang has his place in golf history because he's the one that woke up Tiger Woods at the PGA Championship at Hazeltine by beating him on Sunday. So like I said, there's a lot of interesting names. I would be curious to watch Angel Cabrera play today, a really talented golfer who has had some unfortunate things happen to him through his own doing in recent years, but he is back in golf trying to sort of reacquaint himself with the game and maybe justify his existence in the game.
A beautiful day indeed for the Ascension Charity Classic at Norwood Hills Country Club. Final round play. Dan Reardon there covering it for KMOX. We always appreciate it, Dan. Thank you.
Enjoyed it, Tom.
It's 11:13. When we come back, Lutz Pfannensteel, sporting director, St. Louis City SC, their team with a night game last night against the New England Revolution. We'll discuss that 2-2 draw, and we'll go right into Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues, John Mozeliak at 11:30, and Bernie Miklas makes his return to sports on a Sunday morning at 11:45, right here on KMOX.
Stripped by Thorisson, pushes forward, Klaus 3-on-3 down the left side of the box, has Cello against Parker, drop back to our Klaus, lets it drift,
yes!
Outside the goal! Oh, Simon Bencher ties us and deuces! 73rd minute, Foxborough!
The call on Y98 FM, Joey Zanaboni, Dale Schilly, a 2-2 draw with the New England Revolution. They come back and get that point. Joining us, sporting director Lutz Pfannensteel on Sports on a Sunday Morning. Good morning, Lutz.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing well. You get the point there. You've become accustomed to getting points. That is 13 draws now on the season. But this one, tell me how that happened in the second half, how you were able, how John Hackworth was able to get his team to get that equalizer and finish it off 2-2.
You know, it was a bit painful after having complete game control in the first 20 minutes. We scored a goal, and then just before halftime, we let them back into the game. They scored two chances, were very clinical, and then I think after 60 minutes, John changed it into a back three, which did the trick for us. We took again, I think, control of the match. Simon scored a good goal, 2-2. But then, on a normal day, I would say, getting a draw on the road against a team like New England on a difficult turf, That's a good result. That's a decent result to build on. Of course, with the task which we all have in front of our eyes right now to still somehow squeeze into a playoff spot, then it's not that positive. So you need to look at it, I think, from both sides, looking further ahead, looking at the way we played, looking at the result. I think that's something to build on. Only losing one out of the last eight is something to build on. But right now, if we want to still somehow get this season, rescue this season, I will call it, then only the wins are right now what really matters, what counts. And not a bad result, but now we need to prepare for Minnesota. That's a six-pointer next week.
I completely understand that. Getting wins, getting 3 points on the road is something that has eluded you to this point. I do want to, before I go back to this New England game, want to mention that you were coming off a great win, and I really haven't had a chance to talk to you about that. I was there. I enjoyed every second of the victory over the LA Galaxy, so that had to excite you. I saw you out on the field after the game, out on the pitch, shaking hands, and certainly excited about what you saw. I have to think that there were good things ahead coming out of that, Lutz.
Yeah, beating Galaxy at home, was definitely special. I mean, they're the number one team at the moment in the Western Conference, and I think we fully deserve to beat them on that day. So lots of positive vibes during the week, and then we carried that definitely over into the first 15, 20, maybe 25 minutes in Boston last night. But then I think our defensive shape let us down a few times. There was little things happening down one flank, which we didn't really get under control that easy. And this is when another team scores two goals out of three chances in quick succession, and then somehow you start to think again. And that was happened yesterday. I think John Hackworth and the coaching staff did a great job to find a solution in the second half to actually change the formation, which we haven't done that often, and actually get that point, which is, from a mentality perspective, definitely nothing bad and not something to work on. But I think we took a lot of energy out, Tom, of that LA Galaxy game, because it was a great day of football. It was a wonderful day, an afternoon game, which we don't have that often, and I think the crowd really liked it. So another home game coming up, I think that is what I'm looking forward to now. I just put a little green tick or a neutral tick on that game yesterday, let it go, and focus on next week against Minnesota.
One last thing on that game, if you don't mind, and that would be Kessler and Parker. What did you think of Kessler as he made his return to New England. I know that that's emotional for the players, but isn't it once you start playing, does that kind of go away? Aren't you just trying to concentrate on doing what you have to do technically?
You know, it was a very emotional game, I think, for Henry, because it was his only professional club before he came to St. Louis he ever played for. They showed before the game a highlight video of him on the screen, which was pretty interesting as well. And the crowd got nuts and really enjoyed that he scored a goal from a set piece in his return, also on his 100th MLS game, was sensational. But it wasn't not all that sweet, because then also at the equalizer he slipped, and that's how actually England came back into the game. So there was some great moments for Henry and also some bad moments. But overall, I think he had a decent performance for sure. And yeah, it was also great to see Tim Parker. You know, I mean, he was here since day one, as you know. And I spoke with him briefly before the game and a bit after the game as well. But there was no hard feelings. And yeah, Tim played the full game, had his first start, and did a good job.
You'll take on Minnesota United on Saturday night at City Park, Y98 FM at 7:30. I know the place will be rocking, that's for sure. Best to you, and thank you as always for joining me on these Sunday mornings.
Thanks, Tom. Have a good Sunday.
You too. Sporting Director Lutz Fannesteel on KMOX. Well, look who's back. To KMOX Radio, the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, is joining us to talk about his hockey club. It's 11:23. Good morning. Kerbs, how are you doing?
Tom, I'm good. Sorry about earlier. Life of making pancakes and putting a grocery list got in my way.
It's all good, man. I know. And I know you know radio, so I brush it off, because sports on a Sunday morning, as you also know, has a lot of moving parts. So we snuck in our NFL picks as you were finishing up things. And here we are talking about your hockey club. It's time, Kerbs. The Blues are ready to do this for real. What do you think about 2024-25?
Well, I'm excited, Tom. I think that Doug Armstrong and his team over the course of this summer put and brought in an interesting mix of players, whereas some young players, even after last season, say a Zach Dean, say a Zach Bolduc, maybe a Perunovic, a Tucker, a Kessel, think, okay, I've earned a spot in the National Hockey League. That's not the case. They brought in veteran players that now each one of these young guys has to earn that spot, and at the same time, some of these young guys, and take a Zach Bolduc, for example, if he plays or has a really good camp and ends up in a top six, could force a veteran player out of a top six, could put their spots on the line. So he created internal competition, so I'm excited on what I would expect to be an intense and sharp camp right from day one.
We are getting closer. We're about 11 days away from training camp opening. The prospect camp actually opens in 4 days, and all practices and games at Centene Community Ice Center are open and free to the public. We should remind people of that, and I'm sure they've figured that out. But it's always a good reminder, Kerbs. What is the atmosphere like over there for those practices?
It's a great point, Tom. If you think of your access to the pro sports in town, there's really still nothing like, you know, the Blues and hockey. And it's been this way forever, whether you were going to watch and practice at the Brentwood Ice Rink or out at the Chesterfield Hardy's Iceplex or all the different places even before that. Now it's Centene. They're open to the public. You literally get to go watch training camp. It's really phenomenal, and it's free, as you mentioned. So the atmosphere is good. I can tell you that when the players, especially young players or maybe new players to St. Louis, take the ice for a practice, day one, day two, day three of training camp, and the place is packed and people are cheering, they feel the buzz. It's an awesome connection to the fan base that has been just, I think, part of the fabric of being a Blues player and being a Blues fan.
These fans are something. I mean, they are loyal, and they've been with you through thick and thin, but also I feel a line of communication between the front office and the players. I think there's honesty. I think they have been upfront about the direction of the team. They look like a contender, yet they continue to build. Is that accurate? And what do you think about what Doug Armstrong has done to this point?
Yeah, I'll give you a good example of that. You've got a Ryan Suter who's going to be the oldest player in the National Hockey League this year, hitting the 40-year plateau. Now, played 18 minutes a game in every game last year for the Dallas Stars. The Blues aren't looking for him to play 18 minutes. And when Doug Armstrong talked to him prior to signing him saying, do you want to play? And the Blues were the ones that reached out to him. He asked, or they told Ryan Suter, this is the role we see you playing. We see you playing a role where we're going to need that veteran presence to help bring young guys along. Are you willing to play that role? And they were upfront and honest with him. And he said, yeah, that sounds like a perfect fit for me. And Ryan Suter signed here. So there's that honesty and that upfrontness. But at the same time, Tom Stillman, Doug Armstrong, every time they've talked to the media from last year, the year before, and into this year, they've talked about how they know they're building for the future. They're not going to make big splashes in free agency, but they are going to build what they feel is a team that can compete and then hopefully find a way into a playoff spot. I think they've put that roster together. We'll see what health plays into this. We'll see how health through camp plays into this. We'll see whether it's a Dvorsky, a Kaskamaki, or somebody, a Bolduca Dean, that steps up, maybe takes somebody's spot, the Toropchenko, whoever it may be, and then we'll see how that plays out. But a full camp with Drew Bannister, Tom, a full run of his energy, what he's expecting from a work ethic standpoint. And if the Blues get off to a good start, it could be a terrific year. But they put a team together that will be competitive, and then now you just have to see how it plays out when the whistle blows.
Curbs, thank you for this, and congratulations to your longtime radio partner, Kelly Chase, on being inducted into the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. What a special time this is for the Blues and his hockey family.
Yeah, thanks, Tom, and congratulations to Chaser. It was a great honor, and it speaks. That honor didn't just speak to his play on the ice, which is what I think makes it such a special one. It spoke to his commitment to this community and how much that this community is near and dear to his heart. So, a special honor, a fun night for him, and I was glad to see him receive it.
Lots of love from all of us here at KMOX. Curbs, always great to talk to you. We'll catch up with you soon, and I'm fired up for hockey season. Thank you very much for the time.
All right, Tom, we'll see you at the rink next weekend.
Yes, sir. The voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, with us on KMOX. John Mozeliak is next.
It's a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billiken's win! Billiken's win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. It's great to be along with you, and we are joined live, as we are always at this time, by the president of baseball operations of the St. Louis Cardinals, John Mozeliak. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Doing great. Terrific win yesterday, 2-0 over the Mariners. Let's talk about that first and then some of the festivities that happened yesterday. But the Cardinals get a really nice W. That was a strong effort. Boy, Ollie's team, you know, if they were supposed to throw in the towel, nobody told them. They've got some fire, and that was a good pitcher they knocked off yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, obviously an impressive win. Anytime you get two hits and then get the win, it's kind of sweet. You know, obviously it was some frustrating times during that game, but, you know, obviously a huge home run in the eighth, and then we're able to close it out. So, you know, you touched on the fact that no one's giving up, and I think that's right. I mean, they're still competing. There's 3 weeks left of baseball, so, you know, nobody's quitting, and everybody's going to keep pushing for as long as we can.
You got the win, and Gibson and Romero and Kittredge and Helsley were able to finish it off, and now today Miles Michaelis against the Mariners at 1:15. And, you know, it was perfect and fitting because of the theme of the day, pitching. I mean, Dave Duncan and Matt Morris go into the Cardinals Hall of Fame. You talk about two that never gave in, not to mention the great Whitey Karowski from the 1940s, who was a big part of those world championship teams, celebrated as Hall of Famers. Mo, tell us about that ceremony from your perspective.
Well, obviously, getting to work with Dave Duncan for a majority of my career was something I'll, you know, always cherish, and learned so much from him about the game, and his patience with someone like me was something I'm extremely grateful for. So, like, I think it was a great honor for him. I know he was, like, truly touched. I remember, like, reaching out to him when he initially learned the news, and you know, he got a little emotional, and you saw it yesterday, and so I think that was just a really cool honor, something well deserved, but I'm you know, really grateful that the organization did that. And I know it's something that meant a lot to him. And I think, you know, as a fan, as a friend, I think it was, you know, really special. And then with Matt Morris, obviously got to know him quite well. I was a lot younger when he was around, but, you know, just one of those ultimate competitors. And, you know, he was just always just a guy that when he took the ball, he was going to give you the very best he could. And then when he wasn't pitching, he was just fun to be around. And I think people got to see that personality yesterday as he was speaking and sharing stories. And just, I'd say kind of a unique individual, because he was one of those guys, one of the few guys that was, when he was pitching a game, he'd actually talk to you. It was not like something where he was so locked in on his pitch day that you just didn't even make eye contact. So unique individual, talented, and you know, outstanding career for the Cardinals.
100%. When covering him, I talked about this actually when I had the two of them on stage Friday at the Walk of Fame ceremony, that Matty Moe used to tap me on the shoulder and say, "Hey man, did you see that new album that just came out?" And you know, we always liked the same music. And then he would take the ball and lock in like a bulldog, like you just wouldn't believe. And Dave Duncan was so well spoken on Friday and Saturday, has so much to give, I think, still in terms of when he speaks and listening to him and his mind when it comes to the game, just having all of those minds together, Tony and Adam and Albert and whoever comes your way, Mo, what is that like to be surrounded by those names and faces of the past?
Well, I think, you know, when I look back at my career at some point, I'm going to reflect on, you know, how fortunate I was to just be around so many, you know, great individuals of this game. You know, it's really kind of remarkable. And, you know, I feel very fortunate for that, you know, not quite at that point where I want that reflection, but, you know, as I think about all the people I've been around, it's been special. And, you know, I always like running into Scott Rolen. You know, he was a good buddy of mine when he was a player here, and he's remained one, after his playing days. And, you know, always catching up with some of those old faces is something incredible. I was even like kind of thinking about this last night when I was like sitting in the dugout before the game started, and, you know, I was hanging out with Ray Langford and Scott Rolen, and like all these young guys are coming and going, you know, our current players. I was really wondering like how many actually knew like how good these guys were and what they meant to the organization. Because I think players today, you tend to sort of focus on the here and now, and you don't really think about really the past as much as what you have to do that day. But it was kind of remarkable of all the talent that was in that dugout last night.
No, it's amazing. And I know you want that. You know, you look at that history and you remember when the Cardinals were the envy of Major League Baseball. You want that again. It's finding the right mix of players to grow within your organization, finding free agents that you can add to that list. Do you feel that also, that you feel the responsibility when you see the greatness in the past, that this addition you wish could get to that in next year?
Well, I think you're always striving to find that right recipe. I think the real question becomes like, what's that look like and what does that mean? And so, you know, one of the things that I feel like in the game of baseball, as you look at sort of the economics of what's happening in our industry, there are the mid to small market teams that you have to get the draft and player development right. You just have to truly be successful in this league. You can't have many misses on your draft picks. And when you have draft picks, you got to be able to squeeze the most juice out of that as possible to really be successful. And so as I think about the future for the organization, obviously with Gary LaRocque announcing his retirement, you know, there's going to be some changes. And I think as great a job as Gary did, I think it's going to be a nice opportunity to welcome some change. And so I certainly look forward to the next few months and to see where we end up and what that leadership looks like. But, you know, I definitely feel like we do have to have some changes from within, because, you know, we're not where we need to be, and we need to get back there.
Do you also, changes from within for sure, do you want to look outside? Do you want to, when the time is right, to poke around and see which teams are doing it right, which teams are doing it great, which teams are being innovative, and perhaps taking some of those people and putting them in the mix?
Yeah, to you know, give you the Cliff Note version, I mean, that's already been done.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, beginning the process of the interviewing. and getting that moving, and hopefully in the, within the next couple months, we have leadership in place, and then we can just keep moving forward.
We have a big game today again, a chance to win a series, and I know I ask you about this all the time with the playoff scenario. It is what it is, but Ollie Marmol's team just has to win today. And then, you know, it's hard to do when the Mets have won nine in a row if you're trying to catch somebody, but it is what it is right now. You're 72-70 with 20 games to go, Mo.
Yeah, I think the best approach we can do is just worry about today, right? That's most important. And, you know, if we do take two of three the rest of the way, then there's probably a chance. But that's what you have to do to maybe have that opportunity. But, you know, speaking with the skipper this morning and, you know, knowing how the staff thinks, it's all we care about is how we play today.
Thank you for the time. Thanks for last week as well, all of your comments. And we'll catch up with you real soon every week here on Sports on a Sunday Morning when we can on KMOX. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, with some insightful thoughts, some reflection. Looking forward to today's game at 1:15 against the Mariners. Well, I am looking forward to our next guest. This is a long time coming. We have been friends for a long time. We were colleagues way back when. I'll save some of the emotional sentiments for our guest when we come back after the break. He is Bernie Miklas.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
All right, we jammed in a lot of guests today, but I still got my 9 minutes with Bernie Miklas. What's up, my friend? Welcome to, back to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
I can't believe we're working together again. I mean, you never say never. I was teasing you on X that, you know, the last time we worked together, which was just a wonderful experience. You were, I don't know, like 16 years old or something. And of course you weren't. You were older than that. But you were, you were the kind of the young guy, like the next star, and you were working your way up. And what this means, not that you were 16 years old then, it means that I'm really, really old now. So it's wonderful to be back with you and with KMOX.
It's great to be with you. If you can believe it, I turn 50 next year. So, yeah.
You know what? People are going to say, will you guys just shut up about this stuff? I swear to you, you don't look 50 years old. I mean, you still have that quality, that youthful quality. So you have aged very well, and your career has taken off. I'm very happy for you, and dare I say, is it okay to say I'm proud of you?
Oh, man. Love you, man. I mean, look, so we spent a lot. One thing that you taught me was to be yourself. You know, I tried to be like Mr. Camo X. Like, I'm trying to be this young broadcaster like they did in the 1960s. And you know, you're like, hey, man, you're like, you're in the locker room. You're in the clubhouse. Like, they respect you. You can give your opinion. It's okay. You know, come out of your shell a little bit. And, you know, we were good for each other. So it's great to be back with you. It really is. And you don't, let me put this out there too, just to get things going. Anybody, and I know you've heard this too, like, oh, Bernie Miklas is on KMOX. So he's not going to be critical. He's going to toe the company line. No. No.
I don't believe that's in my contract. So, you know, sure enough, like, let me tell you a really quick story. So I've been really, really hard on Ollie Marmol for some things. And that's just, you know, I'm going to call it as I see it. I don't have any personal dislike for anyone or to the contrary, if I really, really like someone. I mean, I feel you're letting listeners, readers, whomever down by, you know, sort of having a bias just because you like someone. But the other day I did something on YouTube where I talked about how Ollie Marmol this year, you say what you want, he's done a fantastic job handling the bullpen. And it's one of the reasons why they have so many close wins. It's one of the reasons why they have lost only two or three games after the seventh inning this year when they've had a lead. They are a top 10 bullpen across the board. The first thing that I get on social media is like, oh, well, you know, Bernie's with KMOX now. So here we go. I guess this is the way it's going to be. It's like, no. I based my case for talking about how great a job Marmol has done with this bullpen this year is based on about 15 different facts. I mean, you know, so anyway, but you're right. People are like assuming I'm going to, you know, be some parrot or something. I'm not a parrot. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. And let's be real. I mean, this has been a disappointing season. It's been a disappointing decade. I mean, they're not the power that they used to be. I just talked to John Mozeliak, and I know you heard the interview, and you can hear it in his voice. Well, he said it. Change is coming. He said a lot of things there, actually. One is that he's not going anywhere. Two is that change is coming from within. And when I asked him about getting outside help, he said, that's already done. He said the interviews are going to take place. So it sounds like the wheels are in motion. We'll believe it, I guess, when we see it with this organization. But I don't think anybody would deny that the way they were doing things doesn't work anymore.
They listen, DeWitt and Mozeliak together, and you know, before that, Jeff Luhnow was there, and of course, Walt Jocketty back in the day. They built a terrific model. Bill DeWitt, when he came in 96, took over. He made major changes in the organization, and he renovated it. He reset it, and he was very aggressive, and he was also ahead of his time because he brought Jeff Luhnow in. And I remember locally, people are like, what the heck is he doing? Why is he bringing some business school guy in here? So Bill DeWitt knew exactly what he was doing, and he wanted a different model. He changed the model. They needed to have better drafting and developing. They needed to have a more efficient payroll, not a cheap payroll, but to get their money's worth out of what they spend. And that's exactly what they did, and that continued for a long time. So the way I see it is that the Cardinals model, which was so great for so long, it really did get old and outdated and stagnant. And I think maybe they were a little too slow to make changes, and I think that's fair. I'm happy that they are going to be making changes, and I think I've written this and I've said it, and I'll say it again. I saw Bill DeWitt basically restore the greatness of this franchise when he took over. I think Bill DeWitt's got a part two in him, and I hope so, because if they don't make enough changes, what's going to happen is that the fans that have really kind of become disillusioned, that's not going to get much better. I think there needs to be a major overhaul. So I'm just going to put that out there.
Yes. And again, for the millionth time, the fans are not to blame for this. I think you and I jumped on this immediately. And when I heard it secondhand that Greg Amsinger, who I love, I mean, Greg used to work for us. He's great. Right. He's my friend, but you know, he gets on there. I don't know if he was having a bad morning or what, but he got on another radio station and starts shaming fans, it sounded like, for not coming to the game. Like, what? I mean, come on, man. That's not even close. I
know. And the thing about it, the Cardinals had a horrible last season. We know that. And this year has been up and down. I do respect the fact that they've been playing really good ball, you know, here of late. The problem is the people they have to catch in the wild card race are playing just as well. So they need some other teams to just fall apart, you know. But anyway, you know, let's not confuse tickets purchased with who's in the number of people in the ballpark. The no-shows thing has been glaring. It's been obvious. It's one way fans are just sort of expressing their dissent or their disapproval by, you know, the way the things are going. But in a second year that's not up to their Cardinal standards, second year in a row, I mean, this franchise is still sixth or seventh in terms of tickets purchased per game. It's not like fans have abandoned the team and, you know, the Cardinals – like average attendance per game is like 17,000. I'm talking about tickets sold. The people have expressed themselves by not actually coming through and filling the seats that they bought. And I think the Cardinals have gotten the message. I would be stunned if they haven't, because I know Bill DeWitt doesn't like this. We've talked about that in the past. The idea of empty seats really gets his attention. So we'll see what's going to happen after the season.
There's a refresh everywhere when it comes to this organization, without a doubt. Bernie Miklas, final thing. We got about a minute or so to go.
Sure.
But I want to make sure that people pay attention to what you're doing on YouTube. You know, this is a lot of what I hoped for you, is that you would have that forum, and you make the most of, I think they're like 15-minute videos a piece, so it's very watchable. It's not like you're sitting there for an hour watching somebody talk to a camera, and you get right to the point. It's just like classic Bernie. So I want people to subscribe to your YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's youtube.com/ at the Bernie Show. And listen, we've been doing this just less than a month, and I've got already a ton of subscribers and an unbelievable amount of page views. And the thing of it is, I am branching off and making them a little longer, some of them. I think if I go, you know, 30 minutes, it's okay, because it's kind of like a radio segment, and people don't mind hearing me ramble and babble on. So anyway, thanks for, I'm excited by it. So thanks so much for bringing that up.
And of course, your great writing is always there at Scoops, Danny Mac, scoopswithdannymac.com. So man, I mean, you know. And when, as soon as I mentioned Bernie Miklas is back on KMOX, they're like, oh, I miss Bernie Bits. I'm like, you can read him. I mean, the guy is writing like crazy, but he's everywhere. He's on YouTube. He's on radio. And we are thrilled to have you back on KMOX. It is, it is just awesome.
The place is very near and dear to me. It's where I started in radio in St. Louis, and KMOX was huge in helping me grow my career. And the giants of this profession I had a chance to work with. I may have physically left KMOX. I've never left KMOX emotionally. And I am so happy to be back in the family again.
There's much more to come. Thanks, Bernie.
See you, my friend.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Is next.
It's a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billiken's win! Billiken's win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. It's great to be along with you, and we are joined live, as we are always at this time, by the President of Baseball Operations of the St. Louis Cardinals, John Mozeliak. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Doing great. Terrific win yesterday, 2-0 over the Mariners. Let's talk about that first and then some of the festivities that happened yesterday. But the Cardinals get a really nice W. That was a strong effort. Boy, Ollie's team, you know, if they were supposed to throw in the towel, nobody told them. They've got some fire, and that was a good pitcher they knocked off yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, obviously an impressive win. Anytime you get two hits and then get the win, it's kind of sweet. You know, obviously it was some frustrating times during that game, but, you know, obviously a huge home run in the eighth, and then we're able to close it out. So, you know, you touched on the fact that no one's giving up, and I think that's right. I mean, they're still still competing. There's 3 weeks left of baseball, so you know nobody's quitting, and everybody's going to keep pushing for as long as we can.
You got the win, and Gibson and Romero and Kittredge and Helsley were able to finish it off, and now today Miles Michaelis against the Mariners at 1:15, and you know it was perfect and fitting because of the theme of the day, pitching. I mean, Dave Duncan and Matt Morris go into the Cardinals Hall of Fame. You talk about two that never gave in, not to mention the great Whitey Karowski from the 1940s, who was a big part of those world championship teams, celebrated as Hall of Famers. Mo, tell us about that ceremony from your perspective.
Well, obviously, getting to work with Dave Duncan for a majority of my career was something I'll, you know, always cherish, and learned so much from him about the game, and his patience with someone like me was something I'm extremely grateful for. So, like, I think it was a great honor for him. I know he was, like, truly touched. I remember, like, reaching out to him when he initially learned the news, and, you know, he got a little emotional, and you saw it yesterday. And so I think that was just a really cool honor, something well-deserved, but I'm you know, really grateful that the organization did that. And I know it's something that meant a lot to him. And I think, you know, as a fan, as a friend, I think it was, you know, really special. And then with Matt Morris, obviously got to know him quite well. I was a lot younger when he was around, but, you know, just one of those ultimate competitors. And, you know, he was just always just a guy that when he took the ball, he was going to give you the very best he could. And then when he wasn't pitching, he was just fun to be around. And I think people got to see that personality yesterday as he was speaking and sharing stories. And just, I'd say kind of a unique individual, because he was one of those guys, one of the few guys that was when he was pitching a game, he'd actually talk to you. It was not like something where he was so locked in on his pitch day that you just didn't even make eye contact. So, unique individual, talented, and you know, outstanding career for the Cardinals.
100%. When covering him, I talked about this actually when I had the two of them on stage Friday at the Walk of Fame ceremony. That Matty Mo used to tap me on the shoulder and say, "Hey, man, did you see that new album that just came out?" And you know, we always liked the same music. And then he would take the ball and lock in like a bulldog like you just wouldn't believe. And Dave Duncan was so well spoken on Friday and Saturday, has so much to give, I think, still in terms of when he speaks and listening to him and his mind when it comes to the game. Just having all of those minds together, Tony and Adam and Albert and whoever comes your way, Mo, what is that like to be surrounded by those names and faces of the past?
Well, I think, you know, when I look back at my career at some point, I'm going to reflect on, you know, how fortunate I was to just be around so many, you know, great individuals of this game. You know, it's really kind of remarkable. And, you know, I feel very fortunate for that. You know, not quite at that point where I want that reflection, but, you know, as I think about all the people I've been around, it's been special. And, you know, I always like running into Scott Rolen. You know, he was a good buddy of mine when he was a player here, and he's remained one after his playing days. And, you know, always catching up with some of those old faces is something incredible. I was even, like kind of thinking about this last night when I was, like, sitting in the dugout before the game started. And, you know, I was hanging out with Ray Langford and Scott Rolen, and, like, all these young guys are coming and going, you know, our current players. I was really wondering, like, how many actually knew, like, how good these guys were and what they meant to the organization. Because I think players today, you tend to sort of focus on the here and now, and you don't really think about really the past as much as what you have to do that day. But it was kind of remarkable of all the talent that was in that dugout last night.
No, it's amazing. And I know you want that. You know, you look at that history and you remember when the Cardinals were the envy of Major League Baseball. You want that again. It's finding the right mix of players to grow within your organization, finding free agents that you can add to that list. Do you feel that also, that you feel the responsibility when you see the greatness in the past that this addition you wish could get to that and next year?
Well, I think you're always striving to find that right recipe. I think the the real question becomes like, what's that look like and what does that mean? And so, you know, one of the things that I feel like in the game of baseball, as you look at sort of the economics of what's happening in our industry, there are the mid to small market teams that you have to get the draft and player development right. You just have to. To truly be successful in this league, you can't have many misses on your draft picks. And when you have draft picks, you got to be able to squeeze the most juice out of that as possible to really be successful. And so as I think about the future for the organization, obviously with Gary LaRocque announcing his retirement, you know, there's going to be some changes. And I think it is great a job as Gary did. I think it's going to be a nice opportunity to welcome some change. And so I certainly look forward to the next few months and to see where we end up and what that leadership looks like. But, you know, I definitely feel like we do have to have some changes from within because, you know, we're not where we need to be and we need to get back there.
Do you also, changes from within for sure, do you want to look outside? Do you want to, when the time is right, to poke around and see which teams are doing it right, which teams are doing it great, which teams are being innovative, and perhaps taking some of those people and putting them in the mix?
Yeah, to you know, give you the Cliff Note version, mm-hmm. I mean, that's already been done.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, beginning the process of de-interviewing and getting that moving, and hopefully within the next couple months, we have leadership in place, and then we can just keep moving forward.
We have a big game today again, a chance to win a series. And I know I ask you about this all the time with the playoff scenario. It is what it is. But Ollie Marmol's team just has to win today. And then, you know, it's hard to do when the Mets have won 9 in a row if you're trying to catch somebody. But it is what it is right now. You're 72-70 with 20 games to go, Mo.
Yeah, I think the best approach we can do is just worry about today, right? That's most important. And, you know, if we do take 2 of 3 the rest of the way, then there's probably a chance. But that's what you have to do to maybe have that opportunity. But, you know, speaking with the skipper this morning and, you know, knowing how the staff thinks, it's all we care about is how we play today.
Thank you for the time. Thanks for last week as well, all of your comments. And we'll catch up with you real soon every week here on Sports on a Sunday Morning when we can on KMOX. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, with some insightful thoughts, some reflection. Looking forward to today's game at 1:15 against the Mariners. Well, I am looking forward to our next guest. This is a long time coming. We have been friends for a long time. We were colleagues way back when. I'll save some of the emotional sentiments for our guest when we come back after the break. He is Bernie Miklas.
Pelicans win! Pelicans win!
Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
All right, we jammed in a lot of guests today, but I still got my 9 minutes with Bernie Miklas. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
I can't believe we're working together again. I mean, you never say never. I was teasing you on X that, you know, the last time we worked together, which was just a wonderful experience, you were, I don't know, like 16 years old or something. And of course you weren't. You were older than that. But you were, you were the kind of the young guy, like the next star, and you were working your way up. And what this means, not that you were 16 years old then, it means that I'm really, really old now. So it's wonderful to be back with you and with KMOX.
It's great to be with you. If you can believe it, I turn 50 next year. So, yeah.
You know what? People are going to say, will you guys just shut up about this stuff? I swear to you, you don't look 50 years old. I mean, you still have that quality, that youthful quality. So you have aged very well, and your career has taken off. I'm very happy for you. And dare I say, is it okay to say I'm proud of you?
Oh, man. Love you, man. I mean, look, so yep. we spent a lot. One thing that you taught me was to be yourself. You know, I tried to be like Mr. Camo X. Like, I'm trying to be this young broadcaster like they did in the 1960s. And you know, you're like, hey, man, you're like, you're in the locker room. You're in the clubhouse. Like, they respect you. You can give your opinion. It's okay. You know, come out of your shell a little bit. And, you know, we were good for each other. So it's great to be back with you. It really is. And you don't, let me put this out there too, just to get things going. Anybody, and I know you've heard this too, like, oh, Bernie Miklas is on KMOX, so he's gonna he's not gonna be critical. He's gonna toe the company line.
I don't believe that's in my contract. So, sure enough, like, let me tell you a really quick story. So I've been really, really hard on Ali Marmol for some things. And that's just, you know, I'm going to call it as I see it. I don't have any personal dislike for anyone or to the contrary, if I really, really like someone. I mean, I feel you're letting listeners, readers, whomever down by, you know, sort of having a bias just because you like someone. But the other day, I did something on YouTube where I talked about how Ali Marmol this year, you say what you want, he's done a fantastic job handling the bullpen. And it's one of the reasons why they have so many close wins. It's one of the reasons why they have lost only two or three games after the seventh inning this year when they've had a lead. They are a top 10 bullpen across the board. The first thing that I get on social media is like, oh, well, you know, Bernie's with Camo X now. So here we go. I guess this is the way it's going to be. It's like, no, I based my case for talking about how great a job Marmol has done with this bullpen this year is based on about 15 different facts. I mean, you know, so anyway, but you're right. People are like assuming I'm going to, you know, be some parrot or something. I'm not a parrot. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, and let's be real. I mean, this has been a disappointing season. It's been a disappointing decade. I mean, they're not the power that they used to be. I just talked to John Mozeliak, and I know you heard the interview, and you can hear it in his voice. Well, he said it. Change is coming. He said a lot of things there, actually. One is that he's not going anywhere. Two is that change is coming from within. And when I asked him about getting outside help, he said, that's already done. He said the interviews are going to take place. So it sounds like the wheels are in motion. We'll believe it, I guess, when we see it with this organization. But I don't think anybody would deny that the way they were doing things doesn't work anymore.
Listen, DeWitt and Mozeliak together, and you know, before that, Jeff Luhnow was there, and of course, Walt Jocketty back in the day, they built a terrific model. Bill DeWitt, when he came in 96, took over, he made major changes in the organization, and he renovated it, he reset it, and he was very aggressive, and he was also ahead of his time because he brought Jeff Luhnow in. And I remember locally, people are like, what the heck is he doing? Why is he bringing some business school guy in here? So Bill DeWitt knew exactly what he was doing, and he wanted a different model. He changed the model. They needed to have better drafting and developing. They needed to have a more efficient payroll, not a cheap payroll, but to get their money's worth out of what they spend. And that's exactly what they did, and that continued for a long time. So the way I see it is that the Cardinals model, which was so great for so long, it really did get old and outdated and stagnant. And I think maybe they were a little too slow to make changes, and I think that's fair. I'm happy that they are going to be making changes, and I think I've written this and I've said it, and I'll say it again. I saw Bill DeWitt basically restore the greatness of this franchise when he took over. I think Bill DeWitt's got a part two in him, and I hope so, because if they don't make enough changes, what's going to happen is that the fans that have really kind of become disillusioned, that's not going to get much better. I think there needs to be a major overhaul. So I'm just going to put that out there.
Yes. And again, for the millionth time, the fans are not to blame for this. I think you and I jumped on this immediately. And when I heard it secondhand that Greg Amsinger, who I love, I mean, Greg used to work for us. He's great. Right. He's my friend, but you know, he gets on there. I don't know if he was having a bad morning or what, but he got on another radio station and starts shaming fans, it sounded like, for not coming to the game. Like, what? I mean, come on, man. It's not even close.
I know. And the thing about it, the Cardinals had a horrible last season. We know that. And this year has been up and down. I do respect the fact that they've been playing really good ball, you know, here of late. The problem is the people they have to catch in the wild card race are playing just as well. So they need some other teams to just fall apart, you know. But anyway, you know, let's not confuse tickets purchased with who's in the number of people in the ballpark. The no-shows thing has been glaring. It's been obvious. It's one way fans are just sort of expressing their dissent or their disapproval by, you know, the way the things are going. But in a second year that's not up to their Cardinal standards, second year in a row, I mean, this franchise is still sixth or seventh in terms of tickets purchased per game. It's not like fans have abandoned a team and, you know, the Cardinals – like average attendance per game is like 17,000. I'm talking about tickets sold. The people have expressed themselves by not actually coming through and filling the seats that they bought. And I think the Cardinals have gotten the message. I would be stunned if they haven't, because I know Bill DeWitt doesn't like this. We've talked about that in the past. The idea of empty seats really gets his attention. So we'll see what's going to happen after the season.
There's a refresh everywhere when it comes to this organization, without a doubt. Bernie Miklas, final thing. We got about a minute or so to go.
Sure.
But I want to make sure that people pay attention to what you're doing on YouTube. You know, this is a lot of what I hoped for you, is that you would have that forum, and you make the most of, I think they're like 15-minute videos a piece, so it's very watchable. It's not like you're sitting there for an hour watching somebody talk to a camera, and you get right to the point. It's just like classic Bernie. So I want people to subscribe to your YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's youtube.com/ at the Bernie Show. And listen, we've been doing this just less than a month, and I've got already a ton of subscribers and an unbelievable amount of page views. And the thing of it is, I am branching off and making them a little longer, some of them. I think if I go, 30 minutes, it's okay, because it's kind of like a radio segment, and people don't mind hearing me ramble and babble on. So anyway, thanks for, I'm excited by it. So thanks so much for bringing that up.
And of course, your great writing is always there at Scoops, Danny Mac, scoopswithdannymac.com. So man, I mean, as soon as I mentioned Bernie Miklas is back on KMOX, they're like, oh, I miss Bernie bits. I'm like, you can read him. I mean, the guy is writing like crazy, but he's everywhere. He's on YouTube, he's on radio, and we are thrilled to have you back on KMOX. It is, it is just awesome.
The place is very near and dear to me. It's where I started in radio in St. Louis, and KMOX was huge in helping me grow my career. And the giants of this profession I had a chance to work with. I may have physically left KMOX. I've never left KMOX emotionally. And I am so happy to be back in the family again.
There's much more to come. Thanks, Bernie.
See you, my friend.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.